Will, did you have a happy new year?
Amen.
Slept right through it? There you go. That's the way to do it. All right, bear with me for just a second while I get situated here. All right, well, today is going to be my last break from Romans, but I'm actually looking back to one verse from Romans that I think caught my attention a lot. And that was this verse, Romans 13, 11. It says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. And I think we've had a lot of great verses that we've covered recently, but that one really got my attention, and I've really thought a lot about that verse since we talked about it. And I wanted to just share some things that I've been thinking about from that verse as we go through this morning. So let's just take a moment and pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time and the opportunity to be here, to open your word together, to preach and to teach. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit, that you would help me to deliver your word here today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how's the mic? Because to me it sounds really loud. Does it sound good to you? If it's good to you guys, I'll battle through it. But it sounds loud to me, maybe because I'm in front of the speakers. Keep you awake? All right. So I think it was last week there was a certain football game that was on where a certain team from Denver got blown out by a certain team from Los Angeles. I don't know if any of you know about that kind of a thing, but there was a really big blowout, really lopsided score. And the coach, who was, sadly for him, because I don't know anything about him, and he may be a really great guy, was fired shortly after the game. But one thing he said, our team was not ready. We were not ready to play this football game. And I think about this, and I thought that would be something that maybe would be a little bit of a good introduction to what we're going to talk about here, which is readiness, being ready. And it's important that we are ready when we go through things. So it's important for a football team to be ready to go play a game. They do everything that they're doing all week long is to prepare to go and play that game and to be ready. And for us in life, we're going to face a lot of things that it'll be so much better if we're ready to face those before we go through them, if we get ready, if we're prepared for that. I remember when I was younger and I was playing sports, it could be football, it could be another sport, I remember being really out of shape and going to practice that first day and sometimes wishing that I was more ready and more in shape before the practice began. Because then it's a matter of getting in shape, but you could actually be ready ahead of time. And so it's very difficult when you face that situation. And so I think this is about being ready. It's about being ready. That would be a word I would use. The other word that Jesus used is being awake. Being awake. Because so often we're just going through life asleep. You know, we're just coasting through life asleep, and we're not really ready to face what's next and what's coming next. All right, so let's look at this a little bit more closely, and then we'll go on to some other verses that I want to look at that I've thought about in relation to this. He said, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. This is a lot like, again, and I preached about this not long ago, but a lot like looking around at the times, being able to interpret the times, and to realize that Jesus is coming back. And we're getting closer to the end than we've ever been. And that's a fact. And that's one thing that's not debatable. Like, we don't know the time or the hour or the day that Jesus is coming back. We know that he is coming back. And we know that every day we're getting closer. And we can also see that in the times around us and the things that are going on in the times around us. But the message there was, wake up. Wake up. Don't sleep. Don't be asleep. You know, don't let him come back and find you asleep. Asleep spiritually. I mean, the ultimate asleep spiritually is to have all this information put before you that Christ is coming back. You know, that he's died on the cross for our sins. He's given his life and he's loved us that much. And he's offered himself and his salvation to us. And he's told you you may receive that by believing in him and surrendering your life to him. And he's coming. He is coming back again, he says. For us to have all that and to ignore that and to reject that is the ultimate spiritual sleep. So that's the first thing. Don't be asleep that way. The second way I think about that is you may be saved, you may be born again, but you are not really ready for the things that are going to happen and for what's coming next, and your focus and your attention isn't in the right place. And you're spiritually asleep so often. Very often you're asleep. And so I think that, and this is to be a good way to start the new year. And I was thinking about, you know, like passages and thoughts, you know, going to the new year. This year, what year is it? 2023. Can you believe it? First Sunday of 2023, first day of 2023. Here's your theme for the year. Wake up spiritually. Don't go through this next year asleep spiritually. Be awake and be ready. That's the idea to be awake and to be ready. Now, a passage that I thought about here with this, and as I do my sermons, like a lot of times I'll think, man, I wish I talked about this or I spent more time on that. This would be one of those. But I think that this passage here, Matthew 26, 36 through 46, and by the way, I took a break from the PowerPoint and all that stuff over the holidays, so I don't have any of that kind of stuff, so I'm just going straight from the Bible. So I'd encourage you, if you have a Bible, you know, turn with us, Matthew 26, 36 through 46. If you don't have a Bible, there are pew Bibles in front of you. There are those black ones. We made a big investment in those, and they're really nice, and they have large print, and I love the large print myself. But I would encourage you to follow along. And so, this is shortly before Jesus died on the cross. And he goes to this garden, and he takes some of his disciples, and this thing happens that I think is very relevant to the last verse that we looked at. All right, so starting in 36, it says, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, 'Father, or my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, for the second time, he went away and he prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" And if I can just describe this in my own words, that, you know, shortly before Jesus was going to the cross, and he knew he was going to the cross, and he knew what he was doing, he knew what was happening, he took a couple of his closest disciples up to this garden, to this location, kind of isolated and removed from everybody else, because he knew what a difficult thing that he was going to face. And we have to keep in mind, it was more than just a physical difficulty, like the pain and suffering of dying. He was going to bear the weight of all sin for all times on his shoulders and be separated from the Father. He was going to endure the wrath of God against all sin. So every sin that you or I have ever committed, every lie that we've told, every way that we've cheated, everything that we've done that was wrong, every impure motive, impure thought, every lust, all those things, Jesus was taking them on and the punishment for all those at the cross, and he was about to do that. He was going to have the weight of the world and the world's sin on his shoulders, and he was going to suffer and die for that. And he was going to really, truly, for the first time, experience separation from God, the Father. And that's been something that he never would have experienced, and his fellowship was perfect with the Father. So he's about to go do this really hard thing. And I think somewhat about this idea of readiness in life, we can learn from Jesus. One thing is, we're going to all go through really hard things. Maybe not as hard as what Jesus went through, but we're going to go through hard times and difficult times. One of the things we can do is we can learn from how Jesus did it, how he went through it. And here we see him going and him praying, and we see him praying in a way that we almost don't expect. We see his real humanity there. We see him saying, you know, hey, if there is any other way, if there is any other way for this to happen, let's do it. He says, but, and it's like he knows there's not. He says, not my will be done, but your will be done. So here it's like, does he have a separate will from the Father? This is his humanity. This is him as a human. This is like another example of him being truly a man. Like in his being a man, in his humanity, going to the cross and dying and having all sin poured upon him is going to be extremely difficult. It's going to be excruciating. In his flesh, he would like to get out of that. But what we see is we see him conforming to the will of God. He says, not my will be done, but your will be done. And that's one thing that we can take from this. You know, I think that one of the things that we got to be ready for is to go through hard times. We have to be ready to go through pain and suffering and loss and difficulty. I want to tell you that becoming a Christian doesn't make your life a bowl of cherries. It doesn't make things super easy. It doesn't make everything in your life a big success. I mean, in the end it will, but through this time between now and the very end and what God is going to do, there's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations and difficulties. And as you think about it, even just the normal course of life is to age and experience aging and experience, you know, sometimes it's loss of function and ability and sickness and disease, and ultimately it goes to death. And there's a lot of suffering in that, and there's a lot of loss and a lot of those things. And so part of this is, let's have a faith that has us ready for those kind of things. And what we can learn from Jesus is an important part was he said, not my will, but your will. And I think one of the things that Jesus wants us most ready for is when things go according to God's will, and God's will is not our will. Amen? Are you glad you came to church today? Are you thinking, this is not what I want to hear? This is not how I want to start the new year. But this is reality, right? We've got to be ready. So you think about these disciples. When Jesus was going to go through this excruciating thing, he said, I want you to come with me. I want you guys to watch with me. That means I want you to be alert. I want you to be looking, and I want you to be praying. Be watching and be praying and be ready. I'm getting ready. And he's going through this excruciating thing. And what are these guys doing? They're just doing what you and I would be doing, because we'd be probably doing the same thing. You know, they're not even thinking about it. They don't get it. It's just flowing over their head, and they're just worried about their physical condition. They just want to go to sleep. And they go to sleep, and they're not praying. They're sleeping. They should be watching, and they should be praying at that time. What are they watching and praying for? All right, this hit me hard as I'm thinking about this. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to not be asleep. He wants us to be on watch. That means like to be on alert. Okay, now, he didn't want them to be on watch in this way where they're on watch and they're waiting for those people to come and they pull out their swords and they fight them and they kill them and they stop Jesus from going to the cross. That wasn't what he wanted them to do. He wasn't asking them to do that. You know, we know that Peter did do that, right? And he cut off Malchus's ear, right? And Jesus put it back on. And that's where I got the famous painting from Jeff Christensen, who's not here today. I said, Jeff, can you paint me this picture that has Jesus holding Malchus' ear and then saying, can you hear me now? Into the ear. He did the painting, but he didn't do the "can you hear me now" part. So he wasn't looking for them to have a war or a battle or something at that point. And this is kind of what got me thinking about this. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be on alert. He wants us to be watching. But it's not to try to stop his will from happening. It's not to try to have a fight or an insurrection or something like that. So much of that watching is to understand what's taking place and to be ready for it ourselves so that our faith is not destroyed or our faith is not shaken. So there's so much of what Jesus did, as you look at it, when he worked with his disciples, it was all about getting ready. Getting ready for what it was going to be like when he wasn't around anymore. Getting ready for the mission that they had to do. Getting ready for what they were going to go out and do and how they were going to change the world. It was all about getting them ready. But it was also getting ready for the fact that they were going to go through this transition of time when he dies on the cross and they hit the lowest of lows. And then keeping their faith and keeping their faith in him. And then the coming of the Holy Spirit and the building of the church and all these things that would happen. And even though they had that and they had the Holy Spirit, all these disciples themselves were going to stay true to the faith, and in the end were going to give their lives for the Lord. But it's to be ready to live that kind of a life. Not to be ready to attack somebody, not to be ready to destroy somebody or to fight somebody, but it would be ready to go through the sufferings that we would have to go through and to not lose your faith. Because ultimately, this is what's really important to Christ for us, is that we persevere in the faith. Amen. That we continue in the faith. Now, how is it that any one of us perseveres in the faith? He does it for us, right? He perseveres us. He holds on to us. Now, that's the reality of it, the big picture, when you step back. But in the midst of it, where you are and what it feels like, is you got to hang on tight. You got to not give up on your faith. If you've given your life to Christ at any point in your life, if you've truly believed in him and received him as your Savior, even if you're not living for him, you haven't been living for him, okay, you're being called here today to persevere in your faith, to turn your faith, to hold on to that faith, to never let that faith go. Amen. To stay true to Christ because he's true to you. Amen. And to not be shaken, because you're going to go through painful trials and difficult situations. Okay, but you need Christ in those situations, and you need to, whatever you do, you need to not let go of him in those things. Now, I think about Peter, and you think about the context of this. A little bit before this, Peter said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to suffer and die for you, Jesus." But he didn't do that right away. He really wasn't as ready as he thought he was. What did he do? He denied Christ. So it's one thing to think you're ready. It's one thing to say you're ready, but it's another thing to really be ready. And we're all going to be tested in that way as to whether or not we're really ready or not. As I think about it for myself, I think about it like this. I'm not ready, but I want to get ready. And I want to focus on being ready. I'm never going to think that I'm ready enough. I'm ready enough to go through hard times, to go through difficulty. So the good thing, though, is about this faith that we have and being a Christian. It's like our God is so good. He gives us what we need to be ready. It's right here in his word. So it's all about going into his word and continually going into his word and continually making your heart, making yourself ready spiritually and getting ready for the things that he wants us to go for. And there's a bunch of things he wants us to get ready for. So, some things to think about that Jesus wants us to get ready for. And I mentioned this one, but I'll re-mention it. The first one on my list, number one, is he wants us to be ready for what's going to happen in the future. He wants us to be ready for that. He's always been very forward-looking. You know, as you look through Scripture, he's very forward. He doesn't want us to not be prepared. He wants us to be ready. And I think this is especially when his will is not our will. And I take you back to Jesus when he said, not my will, but your will be done. God wants us to be ready when It's not our will that something happens, but it is His will, and we can just say, hey, I just don't get it. Rich Mullins, who died back in the 90s, is a singer. He's the guy who wrote Our God is an Awesome God. He had done a demo track that he recorded, and that means he just played it on a piano and sang it, and he didn't record it in a big studio. He just had this. It's called the Jesus Record. I really like one of those songs. It says, "You're just hard to get," talking about God. And one of the lines is, "God, you live in eternity, and we live here in time." You know, it just thinking about that. Sometimes God is hard to get, but we do know that He's good, and we know that He loves us, and we know that He leaves us things to get us ready, and we know that ultimately there's something really good at the other end of all these things if we're in Christ. So I think He wants us to be ready for what's going to happen next when it's really not what we want to have happen next. Amen? Okay, I think the other thing is he was saying there, and I go back to Romans, and I ask you this, are you ready to meet Jesus? You and I, and every single one of us, we're going to meet Jesus someday. We're going to either meet Him as our loving Savior and Lord who died for us, or we're going to meet Him as a conquering king and ruler and one that's going to very much be involved with separating us from God forever. So how is it that you want to meet Jesus, and are you ready to meet Him? And He made the way for you to meet Him on loving terms, and that's through the cross. Amen. He died on the cross for your sins, and He died on the cross that you can have a right relationship with Him. And it's a free gift that He offers to you, but it's a free gift that you receive in faith and surrender to Him. But are you ready to meet Jesus? And as part of that, I think about that two ways. Are you ready for your own death? Are you ready to die? And that reminds me a little bit of the barber who was also a Christian and went to a church very much like this. And he was also one of those barbers that gave the straight edge shaves. Remember those guys? You ever see those guys? They do that still? I don't know. I shave myself. You know, you can picture him. But he was convinced that he was going to share Christ with somebody today. And so he comes out with this straight-edge razor, and he goes up to the man in the chair, and he gets the razor right up to his neck, and he says to the man, "Are you ready to die today?" So you say it sometimes, and it sounds kind of gory, you know, right, as you think about it. But I just, you know, I think, and it's the older we get, we realize how temporary we are in this world, you know. And it seems like of late, there have been a lot of people that have died. You know, my favorite running back, Franco Harris, when I was a kid, you know. Mike Leach, you know. It's just, you're just hearing about a lot of people. A lot of people, it's interesting as they become your parents' age. You know, you see a lot of people your parents' age dying. Or you see a lot of people your age dying. You know, these things happen. And you realize, you know, man, this life is just a limited opportunity. Just a little bit here. So the question is, are you ready for your last day when you die and you leave this life and you stand before a holy God? Are you ready for that? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you surrendered your life? I mean, you're placing all your hope and trust in something. For some of you, maybe you're saying, "I place it on nothing. I don't know. I haven't committed." You know? But then you're placing all your hope and trust on this uncertainty. And what we stand for here as followers of Christ, and what the Bible teaches, is that the only place that we can place our hope and our trust is in Jesus and what He did for us at the cross, and that we ought to be all in. Believe it or not, this is going to sound not what you expected, but I played some poker this last week. Not for money. No money involved. But one of my sons... has enjoyed playing poker, and it's what he wanted to do, and we all got together, and we played some poker with him for the chips, and we did that, and he was actually surprised how I was actually pretty good at it. I said, "Hey, when it's not your money, you know, when you don't really care whether you lose it at all or not, it really helps, right?" But that idea of being all in, I'm putting all my chips, I'm all in, this is... And I think usually when you go in all in, you don't have as many chips as everyone else. You can't just put the amount that everyone else is. You just have to put everything that you've got in, right? And I see a picture in that with kind of what it's like to give your life to Christ, is like you realize I don't really have that many chips. I don't have a lot. But everything I got, I'm putting on Jesus.
Amen.
Everything. And you know what? And we're going to win in the end with Jesus. It's believing that. So it's that idea. Are you ready? Are you ready to die? And if you're in Christ, you are ready. If you are not in Christ, I have to tell you, you're not ready. You are not ready. And it's better, though, think about it. It's like you're, if you're saying, well, that's not very loving for you to say that. Isn't it better for me to speak the truth for you, to tell you, you know, if you got to the other end, other side of it, and you look back and no one told you that you weren't ready, and you found that you weren't ready, wouldn't you have rather somebody on this side of things tell you, hey, you're not ready. You're not ready. You need Jesus. You still need Jesus. You still need that saving faith, and you still need to give your life to Him. And so I do that out of love and not out of judgment. I think we're all a work in progress, and we're all in process as far as what's happening in our lives. But we are very much a mist that's here today and gone tomorrow. But in that, whatever number of years that we live, you know, some of us may come to Christ at a young age. You can come to Christ at a much older age. You can be in the process of that happening. But you may not be ready today. I hope that though that you are. Second thing is, when we think about meeting Jesus, I think this was very much what some of this was about as we look at it. You know, when he says the day of salvation is nearer today that, you know, than it's ever been. Are you ready for the end? I mean, not just your death, but the end of the world as we know it. See, you may not die. Christ could come back. He could come back before you die. You may be in perfect health. Everything may be going your way. But are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Now, this word ready, we're spending so much time talking about ready. It's often, not all the time, translated. Sometimes you'll see it. There's a couple different translations from here, but most often it's translated from this Greek word that gives the idea of you being ready because you've made the necessary preparations. You've made the necessary preparations. And so the fact is, you know, are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Or are you ready for Christ to come back because you've made the necessary preparations? There's so much scripture where Jesus talks about coming back. He says, I want you to be ready and not to be caught off guard when I come back. I want to come back. I want to find you doing what you're supposed to be doing when I come back. And so that's a matter of being ready and being prepared. All right, I got a whole nother area where we need to be ready. Okay, and I've got a lot of verses here with this, and we may have to kind of pick and choose, or I'm almost tempted to do this again next week. You know, go look more closely at these things. But let's begin to look at some of these. And I think what we'll do is we'll dig in. And if I feel like we're taking too much time, maybe I'll do it next week. I'll continue this next week. But it's about being ready. It's about being ready in 2023 here. He doesn't only want us to be ready to die. He wants us to be ready to live. He wants us to be ready to live for Him. Okay, and so I got a list of things. I'm looking up verses, you know, about, you know, how He's getting us ready. Okay, one is, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 3:2. And sometimes you see a negative, and you take a negative, and you have to interpret it about what the positive would be. In 1 Corinthians, he goes to this church. He's writing to this church, which is a pretty immature church, and they have a lot of things going on. They have conflict and divisions and things like that going on. He's speaking into that context. So in 1 Corinthians 3, starting in 1, he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people as of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready." All right, so what's the ready there? He's saying they're not ready for solid food. They're not ready really to be instructed by the meatier things in the Word. So if we want to live for Christ, we need to be ready to be instructed by God and His Word and His Holy Spirit. We need to be made ready for that. Ready to to learn from the Word, ready to be transformed by the Word. So you're going to need that. And I put that first and foremost. And I think there's probably many other examples of that. This is the one that I chose, but it's on the negative sense. These people were not ready. So don't just be infants in Christ, but be ready to learn and ready to grow and see yourself as a student of the Word. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10, there's another one. It's quite different. But this would be really important, and I think this is along the lines of growing and living for the Lord. And I'm going to start in verse 3. For it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." And here, this is talking about the readiness for spiritual warfare. And he's talking about something really that's internal, but really he's talking about taking every thought captive and every message from Satan, stopping every message from Satan, every temptation, everything, all the negativity and all the things that are hovering over us, being able to take those captive. And if there's disobedience in us, like we don't trust God, that we're worried or we don't have faith in God, that he says that you'll be ready to discipline those thoughts. You'll be ready to think the way God wants you to think. You'll have that self-discipline to do that. And so that's another kind of readiness that we need. So we need readiness to be instructed by the Word, but we need to ready to have self-discipline in our thought lives and in ourselves internally. We need to have that. And that's another kind of readiness that he wants us to have. I just think about how good and loving that is. Like, he doesn't really want all the negativity and all the things that we could be anxious about and all the things that we can be depressed about and all the things that can hover over us and all the conflicts that are there. He doesn't want those things to destroy us. He wants to ready us to know how to think the right thoughts that are not going to be the thoughts that take us down and spiral us down. Amen? Amen? Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. He's so good, and that's what he does, and that's one of the ways he wants to get us ready. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:21, I'll start in 20. It says, "Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." So in this case, part of being ready in the way that he readies us and he wants us to participate in that is to be cleansed from the dishonorable life that we used to have. And we're cleansed through Christ, we're cleansed through faith in Christ, and we live a life of repentance. But when we are cleansed by Christ, we go from being a vessel that was for dishonorable use, that really, you know, was dirty and wasn't presentable. He cleanses us, he cleans the inside out, he cleans, you know, the outside out, he cleans us. And what it is we become ready to be used by God for every good work. And that's kind of an umbrella. So you think about Christ's readiness. It wasn't just readiness just to kind of make it through suffering, but then there's positive things he wants you to go and do. And he wants you to be ready for those things, to be ready to go out and serve him. And so this is everything. Mm-hmm. Every good work. You know, what does it say in Ephesians? He prepared good works for you to do in advance. Before you were ever born, he had good works for you to do. So this is everyone. Now, let me show you a couple of the good works. I think, man, I'm making good time. So I think we're going to get through all this, guys. How are we doing? All right, so let me show you some good works. 2 Corinthians 9. You didn't know this was going to be a sword drill today, did you? You need a sword drill, don't you, right? 2 Corinthians 9. It says, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you, to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction." So in this case, here's Paul, and one of the things that was on Paul's heart was that all the Christians, all the Gentile Christians outside of Jerusalem, would actually give a gift and an offering to help those in Jerusalem who were suffering and were poor. But because they had shared the goodness of the faith, God had put it on his heart that these people that had benefited so greatly from them, that he would take this gift back to them and show the love, you know, that the Gentile believers had for the Jewish believers. That he wanted to do that. And he had told people, he said, you know, here's a place where the people have said they're going to give. They said they're going to give. And he writes them this little reminder to give them a little ability to actually be ready to do what he said they're going to do and what they've said they're going to do. And so he does that. And so for them, in this case, it's to be ready. It's to be ready to give of yourself. It's to be ready to live up to your word. It's to be ready to live up to your responsibility. It's to be ready, another way you might put that also, is to show hospitality. Amen. To be ready to take, you know, what God has given you and turn it and use it for his glory. In 1 Timothy 6:17-19, 1 Timothy 6, it says, "As for the rich in this present age," and I know a lot of you are thinking, well, that's not me. You guys are really serious this morning. Like, are you rich? Are you rich or not? I mean, I'm not talking about being rich spiritually. I'm talking about being rich in goods. And so it kind of depends. Most everyone just compares themselves to people that are richer than them, and they say, I'm not rich. But if you compared yourself to 90% of the rest of the world, you might think, oh, I'm actually very rich. We're very rich because we live in a rich country. And we have a lot of things, and we have goods and things like that. I think probably in this case, it'd be better for all of us to somewhat think of ourselves as rich. Okay? It says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." So this is talking about people that have some resources in this world, in this life. He says, you know what? You ought to be ready to share. Ready to share. That's what God wants us to do. That's another way he wants us to be ready. So he knows that if we're holding on tight to our possessions, if we're holding on tight, you know, to the things of this world, then we're actually not ready spiritually for what he wants us to do, and we're not ready really for what comes next. So he says, you got to get ready. And part of the way is to get ready is to show hospitality and share the resources you have and do it for the glory of God. Amen. And to build his kingdom. Amen? That's the first time I ever said amen. No one said anything. Amen. Thank you. You got, how many of you stayed up late last night? Let's be honest. How many of you were up till midnight last night? You need to wake up. This is 2023. What is the theme for 2023? Wake up. No more sleeping here, okay? All right, so you got to be ready. You got to be ready to share. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It's just to your left a little bit. And don't do like I'm just doing. I accidentally was looking at 1 Thessalonians. Is that what I said? Okay, there's always the possibility I have this wrong, but let me check. Maybe I wanted 1 Thessalonians. What's that? No, I wanted 2:8. I wanted 2:8. Okay. It says, I'll start in 7. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. And this is Paul writing about his relationship with the church and how he was, and I see two things here. He was ready to share the gospel. And he was ready to share his very life, his very self. And so I think the question here on this, we think about readiness. First of all, are you ready to share the gospel with somebody? Have you put enough thought into it? Have you put preparation? It's one of those things. Here's how I think about it for myself. I can't just say, like, I've reached that point where I'm ready to share the gospel. I've got it all figured out now. I know how to share the gospel with people. There's like a continual preparation in it. And it's also like, those are like muscles that if you don't use them, then you lose them. You're not, if you might have known how to share the gospel, you might have a kind of a basic idea that this is the way I would go about doing it. But to actually be someone that goes and shares the gospel, and if you're, this idea of being ready is not just like you're ready to do it, but you don't do it. It's like being ready to do it, and you do it. Because the opportunity presents itself. So he says, you got to be ready to share the gospel, and there was this readiness to share your very life, your very self, to share that way. And I think that's one that can be really challenging for us, right? But that's what he's readying us to do. 2 Timothy 4:2. I'll start in 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And this is Paul writing to Timothy, giving instructions for the young pastors. So you could think about this as instructions for pastors and for elders, but I think it goes beyond that. We see this as a readiness that we have in life. And here he says, you got to be ready no matter what the season is, no matter what the time is, whether it's Sunday or not. You need to be ready to preach the word. Preach the word when it's popular. Preach the word when it's not popular. Preach the word when the people in church are tired. Preach the word when they say amen. You know, preach the word no matter, be ready to preach the word. And know that, you know, you need to be ready to preach the word. And one of the ways to be ready to preach the word is you got to have an accurate understanding and presentation of what the word actually says. Don't distort it. Don't make it say something else. Because guess what? People are going to come along that are going to appear to preach the word, but they're going to be preaching to itchy ears that just want them to say things that make them feel good about where they are and who they are. And they're going to accumulate those kind of teachers. And teachers that really preach the word are not going to be so popular. But he says, you know what? You got to be ready for that. And if you're not the one preaching the word, it's really the same for you, though. You've got to be ready to live in a society where people have itchy ears. You've got to be ready to live in a society that doesn't really want to hear what the Bible says, that doesn't really believe what the Bible says, and to still stand strong on that. And being ready, if you get the opportunity to share some scripture with somebody in your life, are you ready to do that? Are you prepared? Are you eager? You know, are you well studied? So you have to be ready for that, ready for the opportunities that God gives you. So that's another way. So in this every good work, you know, the examples that I gave were ready to give, ready to show hospitality, ready to share your wealth, ready to share the gospel, ready to share your very life, ready to preach the word. Amen? Amen. So just a couple others I want to mention here, a couple that I won't go into, but there are just so many examples in Scripture. Thinking about being ready. What are the things Jesus wants us to be ready for? He wants us to be ready for false teachers. Amen. False teachers, false teachings come. He wants us to be ready for that. The number one way we get ready from that is study the truth and be sound in the truth. Okay, another one, and I think we see this going back to Gethsemane. Jesus said, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Amen. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he wants us to be ready for temptations. And the temptations come in a lot of different forms. Some of those temptations may appeal at, you know, desires of our flesh or something like that. Also, those temptations could come in the form of relationships that we have around us. They could come in the form of Satan's, you know, fiery darts and his actions against us. We could be tempted to think in a way and act in a way that's not honoring to God and is not trusting God, is not pleasing God. We could be tempted in those things. And as I think about it, a lot of temptations come with suffering. And so think about the kind of temptations that exist in tribulation. Tribulation and persecution. All right, we as a church, listen, we have to be ready for those kind of things. And I think that's a big part of what Jesus was readying his disciples for, being ready for the difficulties that you're going to face in his name. And so we may face tribulation as a world that we live in. We may face persecution because we believe in Christ. In fact, we should expect it. We should plan for it. We should be ready for it. Amen? Amen? Okay, so don't be asleep during this part because this is really important. We, as the church, have to be ready to be persecuted. Amen. And to hold on to our faith and to continue in our faith. Amen. We need to expect it. And if you're not paying attention and looking at the way that the world is going, then you're asleep. You're just plain asleep. Because the world is moving in a direction that is actually hostile to Scripture and to the church. Now, but also, combine that with another thought. I'm not saying pull out your sword and go fight the world and try to kill the world. I'm saying stand strong in the truth. Keep your faith strong. Do the job that God has put you here to do. Know that the will of God is going to be done. It's going to play out. You can have confidence in him. You know, we're not like Peter trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. All right, but know that we're going to go through this, and the number one thing is that you persevere in Christ and that you also offer other people the opportunity to escape this world. Amen. That we live in. And you share that gospel with other people and you help them to be ready. And if there's someone else around you that wants to be more ready, that you guys work on it together to help each other to be more ready. Amen. For what's going to happen. Amen. Whether it's the persecution we're going to face or whether it's just that opportunity to share the gospel, but it's about being ready. Remember that this suffering that we face, you know, it could be a physical suffering that you go through in your body. It could be an emotional, you know, kind of suffering that you have. But he wants us to be ready for those things and to be able to face those things and to be able to conquer those things, right? And to be able to get through those things. So those are, it's not everything. That's not everything that God wants us to be ready for. I think you could actually spend some more time this week studying and looking at, you know, what does God want me to be ready for? But I want to like personalize this to you and ask this question to you. You know, what's going on in your life that God wants you to be prepared for? You know, what might happen? You know, what's coming up? You know, what has been happening? What does God want you to be prepared for? And we each have, you know, different things. I think also you maybe look at what's going on in your life and say this: what is God preparing me for? How is he using those things in my life to prepare me for more, for other things? How is God preparing me? And last question is, when you think about being ready, you know, so hopefully, you know, I think Eric said something like this, but I was just so blown away by his suit up here today. I got distracted when he was up here, you know, but I think he said something about, you know, maybe having, you know, going into the new year, having things that we resolve to grow in, you know. And maybe this is really like a good one as you think about it, you know, to be more ready for whatever's next that God has in store for us, to be more ready, to be more prepared. But what can you do then to be more prepared? How can you get more prepared? And I think the answer is not complex, but, you know, we need more of God in our life. We need more scripture. We need more understanding. We need more of our minds and our thoughts being transformed by scripture. We need more of us realizing that we don't need to comply scripture, you know, conform it to our lives. We need to conform our lives to scripture. And so we need that time and we need prayer. We really need prayer to do this. You look at Jesus. If Jesus needed to go away and pray and have that time with the Father and say, you know, this is where my flesh is, this is where my will is, but I need to conform to your will. We need that too, right? And we need this just very regularly, this time in scripture and time conforming to the word, time in prayer. And then I think it's asking God to show us, you know, what he's already doing in our lives to get us ready and to really embrace what God is doing to get us ready so that we could see things from an eternal perspective, not just in the bodies that we live in and the life that we live. Amen? Are you ready? You want to get more ready? Is 2023 a year of readiness spiritually? Don't forget it. We'll try to remind you of this all year, but it's about being ready. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your care. Thank you that you don't leave us alone, God. You don't leave us unprepared. You don't leave us without resources. You don't leave us without your spirit. You don't leave us without your promises, Lord. Thank you for what you do to prepare us. And I pray that you would prepare our hearts for everything that comes next and even prepare us for what we would consider success or things going our way. Prepare us to be steady and to walk with you and follow you no matter what comes our way. Thank you. We love you. We praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.